I'd like for you to turn, please, to, we're going to get a sort of a running start at what I want to look at by rereading the latter part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For the last 7 weeks, I think, we've been looking at, you know, a number of things regarding the one body, starting with one Lord and one, you know, one head. A little bit about service in the body. And you know, and we're going to see it again today, the great truth in all of this is that Christ is the only measure. You know, Christ is all and what?
In all.
And that's how God sees us. And this, and ultimately, that's how we're to see one another. And we'll look a little bit at that today, because really, that's what it talks about, walking in love. And what we're going to see here is that for now, the greatest thing we can do is to walk with that love of God. That's what we do for now. And what we're going to see in God's word is that we do that with a view to what is referred to, at least in 1 Timothy, as the true or the real life. See? That's where our real life or our true life is hid. And what a great truth that is. What a great truth that is. So, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to pick it up in verse 8, charity, or that love, the love that is being discussed here. The love never fails, never fails. But whether prophecies, they'll fail, they'll cease, they'll stop. Whether there be tongues, they're going to cease. Whether there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. And remember, what is being taught here, and it's really wonderful, is that love of God and how it's love that never fails. And these things that are being mentioned here as one day failing, those are the things that the Corinthian believers were looking at and desiring and endeavoring to covet. Isn't that something? But those things, whether it be tongues or all the various things that come by way of that Spirit of God, there's a day coming. And that's what we're reading about here. It's just beautiful. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But, in contrast to that, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In Ephesians, you know, that which is in part is referred to as that token. It's a token, or it's a deposit of what's coming, of that real life, of that true life. Yeah. Then it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, this is talking about now, this time. For now, we see, and King James says, we see through a glass darkly. And really, the understanding of it is it's like looking in a mirror, but seeing obscurely. And the mirrors of their day were made of shiny or polished metal. See, and it's obscure. You know, if you're really trying to zero in on a part of your face, you had to kind of, you know, get line of that. Oh, there you go. There's my eye. You know, that kind of thing. But it was obscure. It wasn't the true. Do you understand? And it's important to understand in light of what we're going to look at here in a few minutes. See, at best, we see glimpses. We see obscurely what it is we've been made, who it is we are in Christ. See. I love this. This is so awesome. We see through a glass obscurely, but then face to face, clearly, it will be clear. Now I know in part, but then shall I what? Know even as I am known. Which is just not available right now. And now, for now, abides believing, hope, love. And in this context, in the church, amongst the saints, the greatest of these is what? Love. See, isn't that beautiful? Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And if you have a ribbon, unless you're looking at the electronic version of the Bible, and I don't know if they have electronic ribbons. But we're going to go to Colossians 3 and put a ribbon in Colossians 3, because this is where we're going to come back to. I know this is a familiar section of Scripture, but there's something that I want to point out as we look at this section, and I think it's going to bless you. Verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, and it's in the sense of since. Your being risen with Christ has been established in chapter 2. All your sins are forgiven. It's been established in chapter 2. Nailed to his cross, it's been established. So it's okay. Now, if you're risen with Christ, are you?
Yes.
Absolutely. So that's the understanding of it. And it's, if you're risen together, is how it's, in Greek, that's what it means. Risen together. If you're risen together with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And this right hand of God, this is just beautiful in this context. The sitting represents his accomplishments, that which needed to be accomplished is accomplished. But that right hand of God is representing his authority. It's representing who he is as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Isn't that something? It's representing his authority, his power, that which has been given him by God. See? So he sits where he sits, on the right hand of God. That's where we want to be looking, which are above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God, well, then it gets into it, verse 2. Set your affection, or your thinking, your heart, your thinking, on things above, not on things on the earth. 4, and it should read, you died. It's how it correctly reads. King James says, for you are dead. For you died. Okay. You died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? Now this, you died. This you died is in reference to Romans chapter 6, right? Which is the foundational understanding of the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that you were crucified, or your old man was what? Crucified with him. See? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Isn't that something? It's described as a type of baptism in God's word. But the greatness of it is that when Christ died, you died with him. You died with him. So identified was his sacrifice that it's as if you died, which is the ultimate price for the sin. Christ paid it for us. Isn't that something? So that body of sin might be destroyed, that old man, from God's perspective, is dead. You can never be that old man again, because you can never again be without the life from God once you call on the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. I want you to turn. We're going to come back here, but I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, which is going to be on our way to Hebrews 11. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, or you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read, well, let's start in verse 17. It's kind of a neat context. Charge them, verse 17, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on, and the King James says, eternal life. But every critical Greek text has this word that's translated here, eternal, as the word for real, the true, the actual. See, that they may lay hold on the real life, on the true life. And I want you to keep this in mind. That's the true life. See, now we just read in Colossians 3, our life is what? Hid. Now when something's hidden, what does that mean? You can't really see it, can you? We can get glimpses from God's word. But that life is real. And that's the life that's hid. See, it's hid in Christ. Now, we'll read a little bit more about that in just a moment. But before we go back to Colossians 3, I just want to show you an example of a little bit what it looks like, because we've had many, many, many examples of this. Hebrews 11, right? Hebrews 11. Turn there real quick, then we're going back to Colossians. And we're just going to read a verse. You know, I've heard Hebrews 11 referred to as, the Hall of Fame of believing, and I kind of understand why somebody might say that. But you know what? It's a chapter that is just as much about hope. These men and women were men and women that believed. They walked out on what they were given to walk out on. And then it says, none of them having received the promises, but having what? Seen them afar off, it says. Isn't that something? Let's look at verse 13. These all died in believing, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And then it should simply read, persuaded of them is not in any critical Greek text. So it reads, having seen them afar off and embraced them. They embraced those promises and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They recognized this as temporary. They recognized what was coming, the promises that God made. There's another verse in this chapter where it says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was who? Was God. See, that's what he looked for. See, they were hopers, and they saw themselves as strangers and pilgrims in this life. In Colossians 3, as born-again ones, belonging to Christ, see, we're not to set our affections on the things of this earth. Now, does that mean we just wander around aimlessly? No. We have plenty to do. plenty to do, but it's all in light of laying hold on real life. See, that life that's to come. Now let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. So, I'm going to start in verse 1 again just to, because I like it. If you then be risen with Christ, or risen together with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections, your thinking, your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, now speaking of a time, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in what? In glory. Isn't this awesome? This word appear, I don't know if I wrote this. I did. It's a Greek word, phanerao. It's interesting because there are verses that talk about a revealing, you know, a pulling the curtain back, apocalypsis regarding Jesus Christ. But that's not this word. This word phanerao is not just simply a revealing of something or referring to the physical presence of a thing. See, it is the revealing of its character, of what it's about. The full gamut. Not just the seeing of Jesus Christ, but it's the revealing of, and that's what this is speaking of, it's the revealing of who he is, Lord. It's the revealing of all the authority that God has put in his hands. See, that's what this word means. And that's the same word that's referring to, well, let's read it. Verse 4. When you shall also phanerao with him in glory. Isn't that something? See? You know, this is referring to that time when Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. And Jesus Christ will be manifest. Not just seen, but manifested. Who he is. Oh, he's going to be Lord. Yeah. There's no question about it. There's no ambiguity. Nothing's hidden anymore. And this is also saying we too will be manifested with him in glory. Isn't that tremendous? See? For now we see as in a glass, what? Obscurely. But then we're going to be seen. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. This word is used a few places, but I want to show you one use, and then we're going to go to Acts. Where is it used? 1 Corinthians. Every man shall have praise. Oh, 1 Corinthians 5. I didn't write it down. Forgive me. Give me 1 minute. 1 minute. I want to show you this. Lord. Okay. Well, I can't remember where it is, but boy, I'm really close. It's the verse where it says, every man will have praise of God. Does anybody know where that is? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Yeah, it's right here.
1 Corinthians 4:5.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians 4:5. There we are. Okay, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest, or phanerao, the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have what? Praise of God. See, this is referring to the church, to the born-again ones. That day will come when Jesus Christ will present us to the Father. And at that time, the word says, every man will have praise of God. See, and the counsels of the hearts will be revealed. It's really something. And then it's, you know, the context is rewarded according to that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? But when we're presented to the Father, unimpeachable, unblameable. Isn't that incredible? We're in Christ. Ah! See? It's just amazing. So, and what that is referring to in Colossians 3, it is our being revealed with Him or made manifest. And that is referring to a time that is mentioned in the book of Acts. And let's go there. Book of Acts, chapter 3. And then we're going to go to Romans 8. I just love this stuff. I just... so awesome. Verse 18. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 18 says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution." This word restitution, it means a refreshing. The times of refreshing, or the time of refreshing. Of all things which God hath spoken by, and it should read, his prophets of old, since of old time, or his prophets since old times. This is a time that God spoke about, and it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, 15. Isn't that something? Where Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive. Where is he? Right? Seated at the right hand of God, isn't he? That's where our thoughts, our affections are supposed to be. Until that time where God sends him from heaven. When all will be restored as was foretold by the prophets. See? That's what Colossians 3 is referring to. It's also talked about in Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8. Will, by the time we're reading, or the time we are reading of now, will have been gathered together with our Lord Jesus Christ. We can read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4, for example. 1 Corinthians 15, where the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are alive, they'll be changed from corruptible. They must put on incorruption. Those that are alive, boom, caught up together with them. And so shall we meet. We're going to have a meeting with the Lord. That's what that means. We're going to have a meeting. You're registered. You got no choice in the matter because you called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? It's going to be awesome. See, this stuff is real. And that's where we're to set our hearts. You know, and that God has revealed some of these things to us. It is so amazing. But it's in this context that we're going to read what we're going to read, in, you know, as we read on in Colossians 3. I mean, we're just going to read some of these things, but we'll see. We'll get there. Romans 8. I need to shut up and just go to Romans 8. That's what I need to do. Romans 8. We're going to read what is a digression here. It's really cool. Verse 17 of Romans 8 says, "If children, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, or since it is, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Okay. Now, beginning in verse 18, it is going to further explain this glorified together. So it's a kind of a parenthesis. And it goes all the way down to verse 25. Verse 26 picks up with, since it is, we suffer with him. Verse 26 is also dealing with the here and now. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our what? Infirmity. See? Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But we've got the Spirit of God. Isn't that something? But this parenthesis deals with the future. See? Now, we got the Spirit of God. We have a lever of power and authority in perfect prayer. There is so much that we can affect right now by way of speaking in tongues, by way of perfect prayer. Don't ever take that one for granted. That's now, see. But there's a day coming when that's going to cease. See? Isn't that something? Because we're going to be like him. And so these verses beginning in 18 talk about that. All right, so let's read it. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now this word is a revealing, to take the cover off of something. Okay? For the earnest expectation or the intense yearning of the creation is waiting for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. See, creation is waiting on us. You know what time that's referring to? We just read about it in Colossians. When we come back with the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Isn't that something? Creation is waiting on us. Then it says, for the creation was made subject to vanity. It was subjected to uselessness. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. See? When God subjected the earth and men to hope, it was with a view to Christ. It was with a view to the long term, the long game, so to speak. See? So creation has been subjected along with it. Isn't that something? And it's waiting on the revealing of the sons of God. That's where we're looking. Because the creation, here's why, the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's something. The creation is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Isn't that something? Or into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Ha! You know, just like the saint, just like the born again one, that corruptible must put on incorruption. So the creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God so that it can put off the bondage of corruption. And that's Jesus Christ returning to this earth. And there are many things you can read in the Old Testament regarding this time and the great changes that will take place when Jesus Christ is on the earth with his messengers, with his holy ones. See, tremendous changes are going to take place because the devil or the adversary will be bound. See? And it's going to be some amazing effect by that. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus Christ hands us up all to the Father, when he hands all this up to the Father, it's not going to be a creation of corruption anymore. See? He'll have made it ready. And then God, well, he's going to start over. Yeah, we're going to get to see that. Anyway, so we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. It's like it has been in labor since it's been put in subjection. And not only, but ourselves also. Ourselves also. But we have the first fruits of the Spirit. See? We have the first fruits, which is a token of that real life that's to come. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That adoption is it's a phrase, and it's the inheritance of the sonship. See, we know from God's word, 1 John 3, behold, when are we the sons of God?
Yeah.
Now. But it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be. Yeah, but we're still sons of what? That's right. And this is speaking of that time when we'll have put on that inheritance of sonship. See, that day of redemption. Oh, man. Give me something. Four. This is what I wanted to get to. We were saved to hope. And King James says we were saved by hope. But it's we were saved to hope, or we were saved unto hope. This is what it's about. This life is not what it's about. Sometimes we tend to make it about this life. And we make the things of this life the thing. We make the circumstances of this life the thing. Wrong. The life that we look to, the real life, the true life, eternal life, that life of which we have a token now, that is what we look at. And here we are as strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Isn't that something? In terms of our hearts. We were saved unto hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what?
Patience.
See? And to hope, and we don't have time to look at everything in God's word today, but what that looks like, it is to order or arrange your thinking, your heart, your life in light of what's coming. That's what it is to hope. It's not just to know what the hope is. The hope is an attitude of heart that issues in a lifestyle. That's hope. And it's real. All right. Let's go back to Colossians, and we're going to finish up here. Isn't this great stuff to look at? So, Christ our life, verse 4, he appears. We appear with him in glory, made manifest. Verse 5, I love this. So in light of this, and we've just read concerning where our heart, where our mind is to be, and it is specifically referring to that time when we are coming back to this earth with Jesus Christ. That's the context. To this earth, right now, this earth. Therefore, deaden earthly practices, because that ain't your life anymore. You're coming back here to fix it. Isn't that beautiful? This is where our mind, where our heart is to be. So deaden earthly practices which are upon the earth. Deaden the practices of this. Now this is fascinating because it says upon the earth fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived among them, lived in or lived among them, referring to the children of disobedience who practice these things. This is really a great little section on identification. Prior to being made dead in Christ, we were identified as thieves, covetous. You know where else we read about this? 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you. But now we are sanctified, set apart, made holy by what? Spirit. See? That's who we are. You can't undo it. You can't undie. Can't do it. You're a new man in Christ. See? And you've got that new life within you. And this earth, we will come back fully revealed when our Lord Jesus Christ is fully revealed. See? And we will attend to the things that he requires us to attend to. Isn't that awesome? So, because of that, lay this stuff down. Because it's not who you are anymore. Then it says, but now you also put off all these. And I know we've read these verses previously, but isn't it great just with this kind of understanding? Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you've put off that old man with his deeds, that behavior, which is what the context here is. See, putting off. You know, putting off those earthly practices that the children of disobedience, that's who they are. That's not who we are anymore. We're children of obedience. We're children of the true God. And have put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is what? All and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Boy, so contrary to the world, huh? Forbearing, holding one another up in love. Forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, love. Above all these things, love, which is the bond or the uniting bond of maturity. Isn't that something? We can only go so far for now. At best, we can see through a glass obscurely, but we can grow in our capacity to love. For now, we love. With a view to that real life. That real life that we'll lay hold on. Let's close in 1 Thessalonians 3. And boy, I wanted to start in verse 8 because it just kind of, you really see Paul's heart for these men and women, for these believers. And man, he just loved them. He just loved them. And they were going through some stuff. They were going through some persecution. There were some things going on at Thessalonica. Verse 8, it says, the King James reads it, but it doesn't really capture it. It says, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. But the way it should read is, for now we come alive, if you'll stand. Ha ha! Isn't that awesome? That's what it meant to his heart. Man, if you stand, I come alive. See? That was his care for them. That was his heart for them. Verse 9, for what thanks? What thanks can we render? How do we pay God back? Basically what it means. How do we do that? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. You see any love in that? You know, just to see them standing on God's word. And he says, you know, there's no amount of anything that we could ever pay God back for the joy we have in watching you guys. I love that. Then it says night and day, praying that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your believing. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus, is how it should read, Christ is not in the text, and our Lord Jesus, direct our way unto you. And then it should read, and may the Lord, I love this, make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all, even as we do towards you. I love this because it's just, everybody's growing. Everybody's growing here. You grow, all of you grow together as we are growing in love. Everybody's growing in love. In order to the end that, or in order that he may establish, strengthen your hearts, unblameable, in holiness or sanctification, before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his holy ones. That's that word saints. And it means the holy ones. Isn't that something? So for now, we've got God's word. We've got the Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. And we can love. See, we can do that. We can forgive. We can walk with that kind of tenderness, reverencing our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of it is with a view to our hope. The real life, the actual life, see, the true life. Because that day is coming when we, having been raised together in Christ, that we will be really raised together to be with Christ. And we together will come back with Christ. It's a done deal. So we want to live it. Let's live it now. And we have the privilege and the ability to do it because of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to pray.